I've been singing as hard as I can sing, and my voice is not doing so well these days, but it's getting a little stronger right now. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's encouraging. Appreciate y'all being here. It's good to see you. We're going to turn our attention today to 1 Peter. We've been in 1 Peter now for a long, long time. We're going to be in chapter 5 today, starting at verse 5. Chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. And so what I want us to do is pray before we read God's Word and ask Him to speak to our hearts through His Word. Okay, let's do that right now. Father, I want to thank You so much for these songs that we've gotten to sing together. Lord, You just bless our hearts every time we sing songs like these. Thank You for raising up our brothers and sisters of the past to write these songs. And thank You for giving us the opportunity to sing them back to You. Lord, thank You for the opportunity to praise You. Help us to do it better and better from the depths of our hearts, to give You glory, to give You praise, to give You thanksgiving, to give You honor. Lord, we now approach Your Word, and we know Your Word is perfect, and Your Word is powerful. We know that we're capable of reading Your Word without really concentrating on what You're saying to us, without really listening to You. We don't want to do that, Lord. We want to read Your Word for what it is, Your very Word, infallible, inerrant, perfect, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And we pray that You would speak to our hearts, that You would enlighten us as we read Your Word, and help us to understand what we're reading, what You're saying, and help us, Lord, to take from this truth and apply it to our lives and live to be more like Jesus. Lord, we know this is an awesome passage that will help us be more like Jesus. So would You please help us be more like Him? And we know that there are forces around us, including the world and the flesh, our own flesh and the devil, and all of these things working against our desire to be like Jesus. So, Lord, would You please bind these things away? Help us to be open to You, to be teachable, and to stay very humble as we study this passage of Scripture. Please be in charge. Please be our teacher. And please get glory for Yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, here's God's Word. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 5. I'm going to read two verses. Likewise, you younger men, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, He may exalt you. That's God's Word. Now, that's what He says in verses 5 and 6. Let me just tell you that the first four verses of chapter 5 are directed to spiritual leaders, like pastors. But one of the things He cautions there in those four verses that He writes to pastors, He says, watch out for the temptation to lord it over others. He says, pastors, you need to be careful because you may be tempted to lord it over others. Don't do that. He said, don't try to lord it over others. In other words, He's warning His pastors and spiritual leaders that they must learn to stay humble. It's very important for a spiritual leader to stay humble. And that's not always as easy as it sounds. We think, well, it ought to be easy to stay humble. But pride has a way of just very subtly creeping into our hearts. And we hardly recognize it. Sometimes we don't even realize it's there. Somebody else might see it. Sometimes we don't. Humility can be a very tricky thing because we can learn how to sound humble. You know, we learn how to say the right words so that we'll sound humble. And we might learn how to kind of look humble to other people. But sometimes we can do that and our hearts are still full of ourselves. We can do that. Be full of pride. So it's a good time for us to remember when we're looking at a passage like this that man looks on the outward appearance. That's all we can do. But what's the Bible say? God looks on the heart. Yeah, God sees our hearts. And that's what really matters. So I think when we look at a passage like this, we need to, every one of us, ask God, please, Lord, help me examine myself very honestly. I want to be honest with You. I want You to help me see it because we need His help. We need His help when we're doing something like this. We really can't do it by ourselves. And often, we need the help of a brother and sister in Christ. We need each other's help sometimes in this matter to see our own pride. So He says that to the spiritual leaders in the first four verses. In verse 5, He expands that to younger men. Now, there are no younger men here today, but I think it's kind of interesting that He focuses on younger men there. not only do spiritual leaders need to stay humble, he says, young men, you need to be careful to stay humble. Be submissive to your elders. Now, that's important for young men. He probably singles out younger men because God knows, the way he created us, that younger men tend to have a lot of energy. You know, you've known young men in your life. And maybe a lot of mental strength, maybe a lot of physical strength in some cases. Sometimes a lot of enthusiasm, sometimes a lot of confidence. Young men can be full of confidence. But often, the young men just don't have the necessary wisdom to balance those strengths. And God knows that. That's the way he created us. So he's saying, young men, you can be aggressive. And sometimes you have a tendency, you know, you heard the phrase, go off half-cocked. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes young men have a tendency to do that. Plunging ahead, kind of like a bull in a china shop, you know, very common. Getting into big trouble. And God may be saying to the young men, look, you can avoid some of that if you'll just listen to some of the older men. Some men who've been in the Lord longer, or older women, older Christians who can give you some wisdom if you'll just listen. So younger men in particular need to work really hard at developing this submissive spirit to balance their confidence and enthusiasm. But the part I really want to focus on is beginning in the middle of verse 5. I read it just a minute ago. He broadens it even further. Not just spiritual leaders, not just young men. He says, all of you. So he's saying to all Christians, not just young men, not just young women, not just old men, not just old women, all of us. He says, all of you need to have a submissive spirit toward other Christians. We all need to work on that. There's a phrase there that's kind of interesting. He says, be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. The Greek word here referred to a garment, what we would call an apron, really. It was like an apron that they tied in a knot over their normal outer clothing. So an apron might be the best word. And that day, household servants wore this kind of clothing. They would put on that apron to keep their regular clothes from getting too dirty when they were doing the dirty jobs, you know, the menial work. So God's saying, Christians, clothe yourself like a servant. You need to be like a submissive servant. You're a servant of God, of course, yes, but we're also servants of each other. One of the ways we serve God is by serving each other. That's how we show we're servants of God. And I think that's what it means for us to be clothed with humility toward each other. Now, I'm reading between the lines here, so this is my speculation, but it sure makes sense to me that when the Holy Spirit brought these words to Peter's mind that we're reading here in verse 5, that Peter's mind, it just makes sense to me, may have jumped back to a memory. Something, an experience that he had that's recorded in John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, Peter was in an upper room with the other disciples with Jesus. And we're reminded there, before he ever tells us this whole story, this account of what Jesus did there, we're reminded that Jesus knew full well all the glory that was due him. He knew who he was. It says he knew the Father had given all things to him. He knew that. Says he knew he came from God the Father and was going back to God the Father. Jesus already knew that. He was God the Son. And yet, in spite of all the glory that was due him, what did he do? Well, you remember this. He rose from the supper. He laid aside his garment. He took a towel. He girded himself with a towel. He poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. You remember that. And he wiped them with a towel. And we read in that passage that at first, Peter didn't like that. He didn't want Jesus to be so humbled before Peter that Jesus would wash Peter's dirty feet. It embarrassed Peter. And it probably would have embarrassed us too, right? But Jesus was teaching Peter and the other disciples, and because it's in God's Word, teaching us too, he was teaching us something here very, very important about servanthood, about humility. They had to learn to let Jesus, their Lord, be their servant too. Isaiah 53 says he came to be a suffering servant. He came to suffer for us and to die for us and to serve us. And at first we say, ooh, that doesn't sound good. I need to be serving him. Yes, we do need to be serving him. But we need to learn something about being a servant that Jesus himself teaches us about being a servant by clothing himself with humility. That's what he did. He deserves all glory. He deserves all honor, all praise. And yet he took the towel, took the common role of a servant, and humbled himself and washed their feet. And he's saying, in the same way, we need to clothe ourselves in this garment of humility like a servant and serve one another. So God's teaching us something here about yielding up our rights and about letting other people have their way instead of demanding our way all the time. That's important for us. That's what it means to be humble. That's what it means to be a servant. Now, don't misunderstand it. That doesn't mean that we don't warn people about the dangers of sin. we're not saying just yield to sin, but it does mean we overcome our selfish tendencies. We all have these selfish tendencies. It's part of the flesh. It's part of the natural man. And there are going to be times in life, many times in life, many, many times in life, when we don't get our way. We want something and it doesn't happen. We want to do things a certain way and it doesn't happen. And God says, I want you to have a good attitude about that. You're not going to get your way all the time. In fact, you're not going to get your way many times, but just have a good attitude about it. Have a servant spirit about that. And it means we need to learn to fit into the arrangements of other people. We need to put their wishes ahead of our wishes. We don't always have to make people fit into our arrangements, fit into our desires and our wishes. And it might mean sometimes that we don't consider ourselves above doing things that others might not want to do, like menial work, like cleaning up a mess that somebody else has made. We don't say, well, that's not my job. I'm not. But Jesus did that. He didn't have to wash the feet, but he did. So stooping, becoming a servant, becoming humbled, very important principle in Scripture. And then the last part of verse 5, he gives a real strong incentive. He says, and this is a quote, by the way, from the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. He says, God resists, or you could translate that, opposes. God resists, or God opposes the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. And that's a warning that you find many times in Scripture. It's not just here. Psalms and Proverbs. You remember Mary when she was pregnant with Jesus? And she came to the presence of Elizabeth, her cousin. Remember that? And she was pregnant with John the Baptist. You remember that account? And what did Mary do? She burst forth into praise. We call it the Magnificat there, when Mary just started praising the Lord. And in verses 51 and 52, listen to what came out of her mouth when she praised the Lord. He, talking about God, he has scattered those who are proud. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He's brought down rulers from their thrones and he's exalted those who were humble. That's the same thing. It's the same principle. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus warned very clearly with these words, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. And whoever humbles himself, Jesus said, shall be exalted. Now, those are God's word. So we just got to remember this. God hates pride. In Proverbs chapter 6, he says there's six things the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him. And the first thing on the list, proud look. God hates it. I think it's important to remember the context, too, of these words in 1 Peter 5. You remember from our studies before, if you were here, these were Christians who were already going through some pretty tough adversity. They had to flee their homes. They were being persecuted. And during times of adversity, when things are rough, especially during those times, we need great grace from God. We need the grace of God desperately. And we know it then when things are not going our way. And God says, I'll give that to you unless you're so filled with pride that you can't receive it. And that's what happens to a lot of us. The proud are not going to receive any help from God. It's as if God's saying, you think you're something, do you? You think you can handle things on your own, do you? Well, let's see how you can handle some of these fiery trials without my help. And he lets us go through the tough times. It's because he loves us. So he not only withholds help, Peter says he resists the proud. He opposes the proud. He sets himself against the proud. That's pretty serious stuff. God hates pride. And he's determined to deal with it. He will deal with it. He will. He always will. Sooner or later, he does. Now, the question might come to my mind, well, why does God single out this particular sin with such resistance? Why is God so fiercely set against the proud? Why does he hate it so much? Well, ultimately, it's like I said, it's because he loves us so much. He loves us so much, and he knows that stuff is so destructive. The essence of pride is independence. I can do it my way. Rebellion, self-confidence. It's the opposite of submission. It's the opposite of gentleness. And rebellion is the essence of sin. All sin is rebellion against God. Israel had a problem with this. You remember, they tended over and over again in the Old Testament to be a very rebellious people. They wanted to do things their way, and they were proud. They thought they could do it quite well, thank you. They were very independent-minded, and God hated that stuff, and he had to rebuke them and deal with them over and over again. They had a hard time. They had a hard time seeing that their attitude was that bad, and sometimes we do too. That's why we need help. But they thought, we're God's people. We're God's chosen people. And they were God's chosen people. But it wasn't so they could be proud and arrogant and puffed up and independent and rebellious. And that's the way they took it. So, yes, they were God's chosen people. They just didn't understand what that meant. So they had a hard time recognizing their proud spirit. It was a big deal. But God had a way of showing them. And he did it more than once. But he told them something that helped them see it. There was a sin that most Israelites recognized as pretty bad sin. And that was witchcraft. Most of them realized witchcraft is from the devil. Witchcraft is demonic. Witchcraft is dark. Witchcraft is evil. Witchcraft is hateful to God. Witchcraft sets itself against God. They knew that. They knew it was very bad. So God said, to help them understand how bad the rebellion was, he said, listen, rebellion is just like witchcraft to me. That's what God said. Rebellion is just like witchcraft. I hate it just as much as I hate witchcraft. Because it's the essence of all sin, and it brings misery, it brings heartache, it brings pain, it brings confusion, it brings destruction, it brings death, and it opens us up to demonic deceptions just like witchcraft does. Pride and rebellion, it's awful stuff. And it'll eventually bring us down. It always will. Right now, as a nation, we pride ourselves on being independent and almost rebellious. We take pride in rebellion. God will deal with it. We better not go there. We better learn to be submissive. And I believe if we don't have that submissive spirit, I believe I can assure us all that sooner or later, God will break us down. He resists the proud and he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He just loves us too much to let us get by with it. So in verse 6, we're commanded to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now in Scripture, when you read about the hand of God, it brings several different things to mind. We think of his mighty power, his irresistible power. It reminds us of his protection. It reminds us of his control. But when God brings his mighty hand down upon us to humble us, sometimes he brings discipline into our lives. Sometimes he brings adversity. Sometimes he brings pressure. Sometimes he brings hardship. But he's giving us an opportunity to acknowledge, Lord, we need you. We depend on you. You're our only hope. And to learn to submit to him, just to be submissive. So when he brings his hand down on us, his mighty hand, and he says, just humble yourself, my child. Just humble yourself. It's so foolish for us to push and kick and fight against God. It's just futile. We're not going to get anywhere with that. So if we'll just say, yes, Lord, I want to learn what you want me to learn. I want to learn the lessons well. You know when I've learned them. You know when to relent. I just want to humble myself before you. We'll learn a lot faster that way. We will. And we'll be where God wants us to be. And when we've learned that lesson through and through really, really well, and I can't decide that. God's the one that gets to decide that. What's he say? He says, last part of verse 6, in due time, he will exalt us. He will. That's part of the promise too. He will exalt us. Remember the promise that Jesus made in Matthew 23, we read a minute ago? Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. Yes. But he said the other side of the coin. He didn't stop there. He says, certainly also true that whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. So it's almost like God saying to us, you know what? You're kind of like a little cup. And you got to be careful because I'd like to fill you with myself, but you're already full. You're full of yourself. And if you're full of yourself, if you're always thinking about yourself, if you're always talking about yourself, if you're just full of yourself and full of pride, God says, I can't fill you with myself because you're already full. So why don't let's just empty you of yourself? Let's just empty you of yourself and then we'll fill you with me, God says. He'll fill us with himself, his Holy Spirit. And when he does, that's when we can experience that exaltation that he's talking about. And he'll produce through us good stuff. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. He produces all of that through us when he fills us with himself. So what I'd like for us to do here as we stop before we sing one more song is just ask God to do that. Let's just do that. Father, thank you so much for this word. Thank you for giving us your powerful scripture. And Lord, we all recognize our need for humility. And Lord, we recognize that pride can sneak in to any of us. And it can be so treacherous and so sneaky and so subtle that we hardly realize it. We don't see it ourselves. Lord, you know how we are. We can see it in other people. We can't see it in ourselves. So would you please help us to see when we start to slip into that proud mode, that arrogant mode, that full of self mode, that determination to get my way mode. Lord, help us to recognize it quickly, to realize what a horrible sin it is. And Lord, teach us and help us to learn to be submissive to you, to humble ourselves before you, to be servants of those that we come in contact with, to serve you, to bless others, to bless you. Lord, help us not to be determined just to have our way all the time. Help us not to be determined just to get to set the agenda for everybody else. Help us, Lord, just to submit and to be gracious and to be kind and to be gentle. And Lord, help us to be humble before you and teachable so that in due time, and you get to decide this, Lord, we know that, we don't, but in due time, you'll lift us up, you'll exalt us because you promised it in your word. So thank you so much for this lesson. Help us to internalize it well so that we can be more like Jesus, who set us a perfect example of humility. So help us to keep our focus on him and to be more and more like him day by day. In his name we pray. Amen.